You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look! Up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Hulk! Smash!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Baruta.
And Chris Ellis.
How is everybody today?
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Not too bad. A little tired, but I'm here.
A little tired. Get in line. It's Friday night. It's Hey Kids Comics night. We should talk about comics, but realistically, I read two. I don't know about you guys.
I read two comics as well, two of the same series.
Somebody's got to grease this mic stand.
I was a slacker this week. I haven't read anything.
So that's the total of what we've got there is nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Good to go.
Yep.
This Tuesday, I was coming home from work, pulled into my side street, and I was driving towards my house, and I was like, "Hey, that car looks like there's smoke coming up from the hood."
Oh.
And then I pull into my driveway, and this car is parked like right out in front of the apartment building, and I was like, "Oh, yep, no, I can definitely see that there's fire under the hood." So I called 911. It's the first time I've ever called 911. And somebody had already reported the truck to the fire department. Watched it burst into flames. And I taped it for a couple of moments, which was fun.
Yeah, I saw that you posted that on the social media there.
Yep.
Car's on fire.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Did you bring out some marshmallows or did you just go straight to the 911?
Well, and then there's construction down one end of my street and the fire trucks blocked off the other end of the street. So it was just completely blocked off. So I couldn't go anywhere for most of the night. But oh, well, at least my car wasn't on fire.
That's true. That's always a good start.
However, it did prompt me to contact my mechanic about a possible electrical issue. So I was like, oh, this is a good time to get that checked out.
Not put stuff off, yeah, for sure.
So that's been the excitement of my week.
The excitement, eh?
Yep.
I didn't have a whole lot of excitement this week either.
No, neither did I.
This is where you're like, it was my truck.
No, fortunately not. I have been trying to reorganize my comics and realize that I have way, way too many that are not where they're supposed to be. Hey, there we go. Left side's on.
So that means we've been recording only one side for these two mics. So if you're listening to this on your AirPods.
We're in stereo.
Don't panic.
We just got to mix it down for mono.
There you go.
And it won't matter.
Exactly. I had to turn down my sound because you can hear when I scratch my mustache. Oh, it's going to be one of those shows.
What? The super creepy ones?
Adam's not here.
Okay, so I got a question for you guys.
All right, let her rip.
So I was reading an article this week.
That was dangerous.
Yeah. And I kind of came away from it with kind of like a who cares. So they're finally starting to talk about the Rick Grimes movie for The Walking Dead. So they didn't kill him in the show. They took him off. And the plan was to have him come back and do Walking Dead movies with him as the main character. Like released to theaters. People got to pay and watch it.
Yep.
And so I was kind of reading the article and I'm like, everything about this is not good because like The Walking Dead, the viewership is down, right? So they're talking about like possibly canceling the Fear the Walking Dead show, and they've got a Rick Grimes movie on the way that nobody's probably going to pay to watch.
Yeah, because like myself personally, I haven't watched at least, if not three seasons, then two seasons of Walking Dead, and at least four seasons of Fear the Walking Dead.
I only watched like half of the first season of Fear the Walking Dead, and we quit watching just the regular Walking Dead a long time ago.
Like, does anybody care after they killed him off in the comic book? Is that kind of, or is this just fatigue?
I think, okay, so I'm actually watching The Walking Dead again. Started watching, for some reason, okay, my Walking Dead viewership went seasons 1, 2, halfway through season 3, which is a great season, stopped watching. Mm-hmm. Then I picked it up season 6 when Negan was coming back at the end of, or being introduced at the end of that season. Yeah. And so I bought that when it came out because I wanted to, you know, see what was going to happen and stuff. And then so I watched season 6, 7, 8, and then stopped the episode after Rick left.
Okay, yeah.
So that's what I've watched. But then a couple months ago, just randomly, we put season 3 on to see where I had left off, mm-hmm. and started watching from there. And so we're up to season 7 again in our rewatch.
Yeah.
And watching it through on Netflix, you know, as a sort of, I'm not going to call it a binge, but we've been watching almost an episode a day for like a month or 2 months.
Okay.
So like we're moving through it fast and it's good that way. But because there's a lot, I remember like I would watch an episode and be like, man, this was so annoying when this episode aired, because they were just torturing the viewers with somebody's going to die. And, you know, you have the character in a situation where they are clearly dead, and then but to find out they do two episodes where they do two different stories before coming back to that character.
Yeah.
So you've waited 4 weeks to find out what happens
if Daryl actually dies,
and then it's just a fake out, you know. Yeah. So yeah, that's what killed the viewership.
Yeah. And so like, again, my thought on it was like, who's actually gonna pay to go and watch this, because now the comic is done, so you've lost those people, because they're just, you know, they're done, right? Their storyline ended. So I don't know, I'm kind of curious to see where it goes. I'm not going to be paying to see it for sure,
but see, I had from what I had heard like 2 years ago, the plan was just to have them air on like AMC.
Okay.
So like you would just have to pay for AMC or whatever to see them.
Well, in that case that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even since Rick left, I know that Maggie has left the show.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's a whole so many more character deaths that I haven't kept up on. So like I don't even know who's left in the show at this moment.
Just Daryl, you know,
like, and they killed Carl off.
Yes,
but they had to keep Judith because they must have known, like, because the whole point of the last issue of the comic is that Carl is in the new world that was created by Rick Grimes.
Yeah.
You know, and so they can still maintain that and have that be the ending for the show, except it's going to be Judith instead of,
yeah, because they didn't kill her like they did in the comics.
Yeah. Yeah. So for everybody who was like, well, how could Judith still be alive? Well, they had to keep her alive because they had to kill a different character off or whatever. But
yeah,
watching the show, I've been rereading. There have definitely been times that I yelled at the TV because I was reading along.
Okay.
Almost like at the same time. And like I would yell at the TV and be like, that was so much better in the comic. Why did you ruin it? So, you know, they definitely made choices in the TV show to feature like a certain character in a scene where it makes way less sense than what the comics do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So,
and then they would mix up the way people would die and just to try and like fake people out.
Well, I remember when Negan killed Abraham in the show, and I just like stared at the TV for a minute and I was like, this changes everything, because Glenn as a character is so, having him as a part of the group would change the whole dynamic going forward. But then they kill Glenn anyways. And I was like, okay, like now the group's going to go forward the same way they would in the comics.
Yeah.
You know, but that's also where they lost people, like with the graphicness of that.
Yeah.
That death, even though it's like literally shot for shot what they show in the comic book,
exactly,
but it's very graphic.
Well, and it was in the comic too. Like,
yes,
I can. The first time I read it, I was like, kind of. It was almost sickening to see. Like,
yeah,
it's like almost over the top. And I mean, I've read some pretty funky books, like, so that one. It was just, I guess, it was just the way they did it, the way the art was. And but yeah, you're right. It was like almost a frame for frame out of the comic book for that scene. So
to answer your question, nobody.
Yeah, don't look at me. I'm not reading the comic book or watching the TV show.
Where's Gilpin on this one?
Yeah. I'm not watching either. And isn't there like two prequel or sequel TV shows coming too?
There's another prequel show coming.
Somebody said there was going to be a show coming out that is about the first generation of people that were born in this zombie era. It's the kids growing up. So, and I don't know whether they're going to be 12, 14, 15, 16, 19. I don't remember the age, but that series is supposed to be about the first generation of people living post-zombie. So I don't know if that's still on the go.
I don't know.
As far as I know, it is.
Do you think people are zombied out or what?
I think that show, it's all just in the delivery. I don't think people are zombied out, but it's in the delivery. Like, if there's no stupid fake outs and none of this stuff, like, if the story is actually good,
yeah.
Like, they don't treat it. If it was treated more like Game of Thrones, like, I feel like The Walking Dead took such liberties with the timeline of getting back to characters and intentionally trying to annoy fans,
yeah,
or string fans along.
To make them watch the next two episodes.
And every mid-season finale, they would kill two characters. Mm-hmm. And then in the finale, they would kill two characters. And when you know there's two characters that are going to be killed every finale, you stop caring because people are just so expendable.
Yeah.
Right? And it loses the impact.
Well, and I think that was kind of like the first season, the group was fairly tight. Like, so when Rick finds the group, you know, and they're led by Shane, the group is really tight together. And then when somebody dies, you actually feel bad for that person, even though you've read the book and you know that he's gonna die, you just feel bad for them. But then it just got to be like, okay, who's gonna die this week? And which twisted way are they going to kill off somebody who in the comic books is still more than alive? Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I gotta claim my Fusion in my Topps Marvel collector card app here.
Collector cards?
What is that? You guys aren't nerding out on this thing?
Oh, what is gosh. It?
So a while back, Chris Gilpin got me into the Star Wars trading card app.
Okay.
So instead of getting trading cards, these are virtual trading cards. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, cool. So you don't get the actual card. You just get a digital copy and stuff. They've done this in such an insidious way of daily rewards and collecting gems and gold coins and base sets. And in order to get the special sets, you got to buy this for $14.99 to get these gems. Does this sound like, you know, like Golf Clash and all those other games? So he basically turned it into this insidious kind of Pavlovian reward system where your phone goes, ring, you have energy points to claim for the special card. If you don't claim them in the next 15 minutes, you will not have the opportunity to own this special card.
Oh.
So you're literally walking around with your phone going, pushing buttons.
Is this kind of like Pokemon Go-ish?
Yeah, it's like they basically turned collecting trading cards into a video game, like a carrot and the stick reward video game. So I'm on my phone. I just got this phone a little while ago. There's no games on it. I'm not really gaming much on the phones these days. And, a message comes up and says, hey, Marvel trading card game. I'm like, I like Marvel. I like trading cards.
Sounds like my...
I should try this. This thing's insidious. My mystery box opens in 57 minutes and 8 seconds. My free 2,000 coins in 43 minutes and 54 seconds.
Uh-oh. So our listeners are not going to know.
No, I'm waiting for alerts, today. And I have zero coins because I used them all up and I refuse to pay any money into this app. And then actually looking at the cards, like if you're trying to look at the cards, you can barely even see them. This is so totally not about collecting the cards.
No.
Like this is all about, like, there's your card.
Oh.
Like you can kind of sort of zoom up into it. Okay. Sort of.
Interesting.
You know, where's, like, oh, there's the back. Like, no interesting back. Nice. Anyways.
Speaking of cards, last night I was kind of... I was cleaning up my comic book room, and I came across all of my comic book cards.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, like Marvel Series 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got, like, Spider-Man 1 and 2 and Ghost Rider 1 and 2. And I was just kind of, like, sitting there and reliving the nostalgia of, like, going to the comic shop to buy these $2 packs of cards, which was probably more than a comic book at that time.
Yeah.
And just like filling the binders full. And, you know, it was kind of built on the backs of the hockey cards, which was the binder on top, right? So
yeah,
I went
exactly.
through my like score 91-92.
Well,
you know,
there you go.
And I was looking through that and it was just feeling all kinds of nostalgic. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what these ones are. And I was flipping through them and I was like, oh my goodness, some of the art in these are terrible. And then you get into like the Marvel masterpieces and they were absolutely gorgeous cards, you know, like painted, just amazing cards.
Well, didn't, not Joe Jusko.
Jusko, yeah.
Was it him?
Yeah.
Or was it the Hildebrand brothers?
Did
a bunch of series for that.
Yeah. I think they both kind of did... took turns making
it. Well, it was that nostalgia that made me install this stupid, insane app in the first place. Now I'm like looking at this thing going, what am I doing?
I don't know. But it sounded cool when you first said it, but I'm not doing it.
No. I totally recommend you don't bother.
No, I'm not going to.
It's just insidious. It's stupid. I'll probably uninstall it before the end of the week, which is like, what, in 6 hours?
I thought you were going to say before the end of the show.
Maybe.
Before his hour's up, get rid of it.
I can't take the pressure.
Oh, well. Speaking of insidious zombie-like collecting nonsensical craziness, this is a horrible segue. Did you guys see Donald Trump's new United States Space Force logo?
I hadn't until you popped it up there on the screen.
I'll show you, Dan, because I kind of gave Chris a little
preview. Oh, yeah? Okay.
So Starfleet. This is the official
Starfleet
United States Space Force Department of the Air Force logo. And yes, as Dan is very... eloquently alluding to, if you do it side by side with a Starfleet logo, holy copyright infringement, Batman. Like,
yeah.
What the heck?
I'm seeing double.
It is. It's so close. And yet, if you look for differences, you can just see enough differences that it would qualify as being not the same. Like, I think
homage.
There has... Yeah, homage.
That doesn't count in government seals, does it?
It's an homage.
It's not an ASM 300 homage.
Yeah,
it's an homage. If we make it look like Starfleet, then
if we make it look like Starfleet, people will think we have good intentions and take us seriously.
The alpha nerds will leave us alone.
Or Roddenberry's, like a state, will sue the U.S. government. It's so close. That's wild.
Yeah, that's insane.
That was crazy. Yeah, I just flashed on that quickly here on the book face. I'm like, what? What is this nonsense? But speaking of Star Trek, did anybody catch the first episode of Picard?
I have not. I want to, but I have not seen it.
So
I caught your review.
Yeah, I did watch it. And I don't know why. I think it was like maybe the first preview or the first trailer or teaser. It kind of made the TV show look like it was going to be some kind of a silly drama. Like it was going to be the retired life of Jean-Luc Picard on his vineyard, just walking around being old and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so I tuned out right away. I was like, okay, there's a long story why I'm not a Star Trek The Next Generation fan. It involves moving to Ennismore and having an antenna that was stuck on CBC for 7 years.
Nice.
I know every Nature of Things episode. and the directors that directed each one for that 7-year period of time. But I cannot tell you anything about Star Trek Next Generation because that was on the Buffalo station we didn't catch. Anyways, so I kind of tuned it out. I was like, oh, this is going to be stupid. This is going to be dumb. Just give me Star Trek Discovery. Give me like lasers. Pew, pew, pew. Oh, sorry, phasers. Pew, 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 pew. And forget this drama stuff. And I just... Ugh. So last night, where did I come home from? Axe throwing. Whoosh. And I was just a little bit tired and stuff. Sat down on the couch just for a few minutes. And the TV's like, you know, how it's like the Bell Express View app or the Crave app. It's like, hey, now showing, now releasing.
Yep.
And it was Picard. And I'm like, what the hell?
How bad can it be? Right?
Let's see how bad it's going to be. So I tuned into it. I dug it. I thought it was pretty good. I'm sure like some hardcore Star Trek Next Generation fans have some issues, but there was, I was about to say lasers again. There was phasers. Pew, 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 pew. Sorry, Star Trek nerds. Star Wars rocks. But it was good. It was a good show. I mean, there were special effects. There was like lasers. There's a drama story. There's Romulans. There's, you know, invasions. And I thought it was pretty good.
Good.
But since I'm the only one who saw it, I guess we can't talk about it.
Hasn't stopped this before.
Every time somebody talks about Doctor Who, yes. I'm like...
Speaking of Doctor Who,
what? Huh?
Uh-oh.
This is where I tune out and start drooling.
Last week was so ridiculous when Adam specifically started making snoring noises.
Yeah.
when he even said before the show, he was like... Yeah, you guys are always boring to me when you're talking about Doctor Who and then, you know, snoring noises.
Nice.
But there is a little bit of Doctor Who news.
Okay.
Which is that I saw Jodie Whittaker did an interview and said that she will be back for another season. Uh-huh. And you know what? I'm fine with that. I think this current season has been pretty good. So, you know, that's fine.
They just need to get into a groove, I think. Or... Yeah. They learned from some of the criticisms of last season.
I find that I read a quote somewhere where they said the first season of a new Doctor, they have to be as different from the previous Doctor as possible. And then the second season is where they become their own Doctor.
Yeah, but do they have to?
Well, to try to just differentiate themselves and be like, this is a new person. Like, that's just how they write it.
I guess.
So that's what they did, you know?
I guess.
But I watched the newest episode last night, and so that's episode 5, I think. Either episode 4 or 5, and I've enjoyed them all so far. And couldn't say the same last year at this point, so.
What was the last episode you saw?
Tesla's Night of Terror?
Yes, I saw that one.
Yeah.
What is that actor's name? He was in ER.
From ER, yeah. I saw him, and I was like, is that the guy from ER? Oh, my gosh.
He was in that time travel show that me and Chris were watching for a bit. I want to say Timeless. Chris is sitting there yelling at the radio, Timeless! It's Timeless!
Well, check your phone and see if he's texting you angrily.
Exactly. But I think he's a cool actor. I thought it was a pretty good episode.
I thought it was a very good episode, and also... You know, like, I don't know, as a nerd, I know who Nikola Tesla is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, because he's a kind of in a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah.
Because of his creations and stuff. So if there are people that don't know about him, it was nice to, you know, maybe for those American viewers that think that Thomas Edison was the greatest inventor in the history of the world.
Thomas Edison was the greatest collector of... patents in the world.
This episode takes him to task.
There you go.
So,
speaking of TV as well, I guess the new Howard Duck TV show at Hulu is dead. Kevin Smith was going to be the what are they called? Those showrunners, executive producer.
Okay. Yeah.
Of a Howard the Duck show, and he got news that it's gone. And in that news, he also got the news that the Tiger and Dazzler show that was also supposed to be on Hulu. Is also dead. So again, the whole theory that Disney is like pulling all their Marvel balls and gathering up for the Disney Plus service is bearing fruit, you know. Sorry, Netflix, I'm taking my balls and I'm going home.
Bringing back any properties that they can before they air.
Yeah, exactly. So the shows are dead, which is kind of a shame because I thought it would have been hilarious.
I'm not super surprised by that. I mean, if they can pull that back to the Disney Plus and get you as a non-subscriber to be like, oh, I wanted to see Howard the Duck. And then now you've got to subscribe to them, yeah. Right? Like, so us, yep. We have three streaming services. Like, we don't pay for cable, but we do pay for three streaming services.
Yeah.
So we have Amazon Prime because we have Prime anyways.
Yeah.
And then so we got Disney Plus, which I got because I love The Mandalorian. That was amazing. And the kids, my daughter just loves Disney princesses. So that fits well too. And then Netflix. So we have those three. And so every time something cool comes along, like Crave, I was like, oh, we should get Crave. My wife's like, we're getting back up to like yeah. cable territory here. But yeah.
It's not too bad. I get Crave automatically with the household internet bundle thing. And somebody said, well, not somebody, but it's been officially announced that DC Comics and Warner Brothers in general, they're coming out with their streaming app.
Yeah.
It's going to be called like HBO Go or something like that, or HBO Max. All of the HBO Max shows are going to be broadcast through Crave here in Canada.
Oh, okay.
So if you buy Crave, not only you get all the Crave channels, you also get like not only the Crave, you get the HBO, you get all that other stuff, but you're going to get all that exclusive DC content as well.
Oh.
So it's almost like you don't have to buy Disney Plus if you have Crave, like the DC version.
Okay.
So I'll be watching that. But, I mean, they're saying outright canceled. You know, so there's no really plans on bringing these properties as they are into Disney Plus. It's not like they're moving them over. So,
well, I mean, if they haven't been developed or whatever stage of development they were in, yeah. Like if they haven't been shot and stuff, they could still say canceled and bring the ideas over and just yeah, start over.
I guarantee you that there's a clause in the contract that says we can cancel this with nothing, but mm-hmm. there's no clause in the contract that says, okay, we're going to renege on the entire deal and move it to a different streaming service / producer / studio. I think that there's, you know, some legal ramifications for that. So it's easier to just cancel it.
Probably. Yeah.
You know, it's like the Netflix Daredevil and Defenders characters. Yeah. It's easier for them to just let the clock run out on the contract
yeah.
than it is to make a negotiation with Netflix to bring those characters over early. And it's not like they have a dearth of plans for other shows and stuff that they're sitting there, you know, hurting for ideas.
Oh, no, it's,
you know, they got lots.
Every time you turn around, they're talking about a new Star Wars show. Like they were talking about the Obi-Wan movie is actually going to be a show like The Mandalorian.
But
if they ever do it, because they changed their mind again, exactly. Apparently. And I think poor Ewan McGregor is like lost because every time he's like, yay, we're doing it. And I think he thought that everybody kind of thought he was like just trying to lie and get the show made. And finally, you know, they're like, yay, we're going to do it. And, you know, people started getting excited. Now they've canceled it like 2 weeks later after they were, you know, after he made the announcement that they were going to go ahead with the show. So I don't know.
Well, I think they're still going to go ahead with it. They're just rejigging it a little bit.
Yeah.
Making a few changes and stuff like this.
Well, apparently they were going to try and get Hayden Christensen back as Anakin, like for the flashback scenes and stuff.
Sorry, I just had a brain aneurysm just now. My goodness, was that a bad idea?
I don't, you know what? He's not a bad actor.
No, I've seen him in other stuff and he was good.
It's George Lucas as a director. He really, you know, he took even Natalie Portman, who's a good actor, and like made them deadpan to the point where you're like, I'm not buying it, you know? And he even flattened out like Samuel L. Jackson. Like he just kind of like weighed people down. I don't know what his style was, but you know, the prequels, he really just kind of squashed people. Like watch any movie with Samuel L. Jackson and the guy's on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and then you watch Star Wars and he's like tame and mundane. I mean, I know he's not allowed to drop F-bombs like crazy because of the, you know, the family rating, but even just his personality, they really like, you know, smushed him down. I know he really wanted to be in the movie because he took less money so he could be in the movie.
But I don't want to see any of these mother forcing snakes on this mother forcing plane.
Monday to Friday plane, isn't it?
Well, yeah. That was always my favorite. Yippee-ki-yay, melon farmer. Oh, well. So, yeah, I mean, they're going through some changes, and they're obviously going to figure their stuff out. But in the meantime, Adam, are you listening? Are you out there? You better be putting this pop vinyl on my pre-order list.
One for me, too.
Guy Fieri.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I got a cousin. His name's Wes.
Yeah.
He is Guy Fieri. The bleach tips, the flame shirt, the whole nine yards. This guy's, I need this pop.
Nice.
I'm just ADHD here, flipping through stuff that I'm not supposed to be paying attention to instead of trying to talk to you guys.
The last cruise ship we were on actually had a Guy Fieri burger joint.
Oh, nice.
Like, so in the corner. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Nice. So it should be fun. I don't know. The Marvel solicitations came out. I didn't really see anything in there that was like, you know, screaming and yelling at me. I guess they have their latest and greatest, newest crossover, Empire.
Nope. That's a super nope.
Like, what is going on here? Why are we doing this to like the world? We should just stop.
You know what they should try one time?
Are buying it though?
Well, they are-ish, I guess. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep doing it. But it's just dumb.
They need to go back to doing it like when, like back in the late 80s, early 90s, when they would just run it through the annuals or something. You know what I mean? Like, so they ran like the Evolution War, and it was only in the annuals and
exactly.
stuff like that.
Or
and
like,
that way you could choose not to, and it didn't affect your story of your comics.
Or even though, okay, like let's the there was the Batman Flash crossover for the
the button
Doomsday, yeah, the button,
yeah,
and you know that was fine because that was four issues total,
yeah,
like it's a mini event, four issues total.
That doesn't break the bank.
It's not so you know what you can buy those two issues of Flash, have the whole thing, it's fine. It's not that you have to buy the main series, which is 8 to 10 issues, plus the three side series that are three issues each, plus the tie-in issues that, you know, as we've discussed to death previously, you know, like just run a four-issue crossover between a few titles with no actual event.
Yeah.
With just like, as you were saying, I mean, Empire's six issues. So there's Empire's 1 through 6. Then there is Empire Avengers. Empire Fantastic Four, Empire Spider-Man, Empire Avengers again, Lords of Empire, Emperor Hulking, Empire
like
Handbook.
They literally just have to take every single character, create some empires, like...
It's stupid.
Done.
It's stupid.
Done. I haven't had the desire to read, like, a Marvel comic in a long time, and this is just making that even more obvious to me.
Yeah,
they're even going to be selling an Empire Marvel graphic comic boxes, so you can have a
just to hold the issues.
Yeah, because
you'll need a short box just for the issues.
Yeah, it's 150 issues of junk that's not going to be worth anything, and nobody's going
to
care.
I would wait for them to be in the dollar bin.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Buy the comic box now.
Yeah,
buy the comics from the dollar bin.
And don't get me wrong, I mean, DC's about to do this with that 5G thing. You know,
thought that was a cell phone network.
Yeah, it's not just a comic book. Like it's not just a Marvel thing. Marvel just does it a little bit more grandiose, but it's going to happen. It's just ugh.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it did happen with some, like if you look at Blackest Night, mm-hmm. That was probably one of the biggest DC events of the time. You know, and like there was a lot of crossover series, but they were all their own miniseries and then just a few issues. What I loved about that was that they brought back dead series for another issue with those characters. So, like, the series was dead but brought back as a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was hilarious.
That was fun. And then, of course, all the new True Believers that are coming out, the dollar comics.
Yeah.
Because of the Black Widow movie, there's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 True Believers, excuse me, all related around Black Widow. So,
like, are people buying these? Like, I see them come up on auctions, like, all the time, and they want like $3 for the $1 book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, but is it really, I don't know, is it really that high in demand?
You know, I feel like there's a little bit of a nostalgia value here for a dollar. Like, I sometimes buy the facsimile editions, but...
I love the facsimile editions.
Yeah, for particular reasons. Like, I miss all the old funky comic book ads and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, the fact that I have... I don't because it didn't get ordered, and now I'm upset, bitter, handshaking. You know, Hulk 180, Hulk 181, Hulk 182 costing less than $10.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you can read the things and enjoy the ads and all the other funk and groove and stuff that was in there. And, you know, I swear, like, I always wanted the atomic submarine. The cardboard submarine.
Yep.
And if I find one of those ads in one of these, I'm going to fill out the form and send the address and see what happens. I
mean, just to see if they still make them.
You know, some guy will send me back a postcard saying, you know, you're the 37th guy who's done this month. They don't work here anymore. So I don't know. It just seems like DC and Marvel are trying all the wrong things, doing all the wrong stuff. And then a company like AWA comes out, or Ahoy, or Aftershock, and they're just coming out with these fantastic books that, I don't know.
Majority of them are leaving the superhero behind, too, right?
Yep.
But I think that's maybe what Marvel and DC need is an actual competitor in superhero comics. Because they don't have any...
That's true.
If Image and Ahoy and all of these other... companies, they're publishing things that interest different readers.
Yeah.
So somebody needs to take the readers away from Marvel with interesting superhero comics.
Yeah, it's true. I agree with that. Yeah.
And well, that cycle's happened before. Like if you really take a look at all the comic books kind of exploded in the 80s, the black and white independents and stuff like this, there wasn't a ton of the superhero stuff there. Like, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you can't really call that superhero comics based on what else was around them at that time.
Yeah, they're not Superman.
Right? Like now, yeah, but back then. So, I mean, we've seen this kind of trend before where other companies, you know, kind of branch out. But really, since Image, there hasn't been an honest-to-goodness superhero competitor to Marvel and DC. You're right.
And, I mean, Image tried.
Yeah.
And those comics didn't do good.
But like
in general,
Image and Dark Horse, I kind of picture them as like sometimes they're a one-trick pony. Like if you're ever looking in previews and you're just looking, counting number one issues between Image and Dark Horse, the amount of number ones every month is insane. Like they come up with these ideas and they just slam them out, and it's like one, maybe two issues, and they never hit previews again. They just disappear. They're gone.
Well, there is a heck of a lot of, like, everybody says Image. It's a great company, and it does things like Walking Dead, and it does things like Saga, and it does things like Sex Criminals. For every one of those books, there's a good five or six that die every month, like you said, not printing them. But that's just the nature of the Dark Horse and the Image model, in that they're a house that solicits other people's work.
Yeah.
So Dan and I decide to write a comic book, and we go to Image, can you publish this comic book? We've got this great idea for five issues. They're like, yes, great. We publish it. We get a little bit of money. We get a little angry at each other. We pull a little Eastman and Laird. We break up, and the comic doesn't get made anymore.
Mm-hmm.
To the average reader, it's like, oh, okay, well, they came out with five issues, and then they abandoned the project.
Yeah.
Right, because they're dealing with all these independent creators. So it is a little bit different, but you're not wrong. There is a lot of failure.
Yeah, it almost seems more like a spaghetti model, where they just kind of take a big bowl and chuck it at the wall and see what sticks.
Well, they literally do. I mean, you know, if you come out with a good premise that looks like it's marketable and you're willing to take all the financial risk, Image will publish it for you. They don't care. They'll publish it. You take all the risks, they'll publish it. Like if you ask Jim Zub, he's always got his little newsletter / mailing list / help me out here. Blog. He's got his little blog where he's always explaining how his comic books work and stuff like this. You know, his single issue copies of his one comic.
Skull Kickers?
I think it was either Skull Kickers, or did he do something with a W? Wayward?
Oh, yeah, Wayward.
Did he do Wayward?
I think he did Wayward.
Then I think it was specifically Wayward he was talking about. He loses money on every single floppy issue that gets released. But he makes all the money from the trade paperbacks, because the trade paperbacks go into bookstores as well as and a lot of image creators, like a lot of image readers are like, okay, you know what? Issue one will come out. Issue three will be 3 months late. Issue four will be 5 months late. Issues, because this is an independent guy, I'll just wait for the trade. Mm-hmm. So a lot of image readers read by trade. So,
not to mention that Image for a long time, I don't know if they still do, the first trade of every series was priced lower than the rest to get you to buy it. Mm-hmm. So like they would have a retail of $9.99 instead of $16.99.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of first trades because I bought them at that price. And stuff that I would enjoy and maybe buy more, but, you know, just didn't because I didn't have the money at the time or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a great sort of lead-in, too, as well, to get people to buy those trades.
Now, one thing I did notice on the Marvel solicitations, and since Chris is here, the Punisher versus Barracuda. It's a new Punisher character that's being introduced.
Barracuda is new? No.
Yeah. One of the escaped prisoners of some sort of Deep South jailbreak in Miami... is a man only known as Barracuda, the most sadistic and dangerous of killers in a gangland filled with extremely dangerous and sadistic killers. Wait a sec, they used the word killers twice. This is a Max title.
Yeah, he was in the Max books, like Barracuda was.
Well, maybe they're bringing him back. Oh, no, it does. Yeah. Barracuda, terror of the legendary Punisher Max run, makes his Marvel Universe debut.
Oh, so now this isn't a Max series. This is a regular.
I see.
So wait. When I CGC this, is it the first appearance?
Yes, it's going to be the first appearance of Barracuda
in Marvel Comics. Marvel
616 continuity.
And that's exactly what it would be, because
that's garbage.
Like the Max series was like outside of the typical continuity, right? Yeah.
Now, you weren't here when we were talking about these guys last week. There's a new company called AWA, Artists, Writers, and Artisans.
Totally ordering that one.
Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Archangel 8? Yeah.
I heard you on the radio. You're like, Ellis would buy this, and yes, he is.
Yeah. Like it's literally, what if the Punisher was an avenging angel, and the art is fantastic.
He was an avenging angel.
Who's the artist? C.P. Smith. I don't know who that fellow is or lady, but my goodness, look at that.
No, it looks fantastic.
Like, that looks amazing.
Did you ever read the series where Punisher was an angel?
No, I last Punisher series I read was Punisher War Journal.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Yeah. In the 90s, they killed the Punisher. At the beginning of a series, they actually gave him the electric chair. And he was dead, and he had the potential or the opportunity to become an avenging angel. So he actually had like this weird little... like symbol on his forehead, and he could like generate mystic guns. If you have not read it, you need to read it.
is it good? Is it so bad it's good, or is it just bad?
It's like super cheesy. People kind of really didn't like it because it was, I don't know. I think they were trying something really different with him.
Yeah.
And it's actually considered one of the volumes. So I'm not sure which one, but it's, even though it's only like four issues, it's actually considered a volume.
Oh my goodness. Now I got to find this. Now I got to find this. I'm going to have to fire up the eBay, but not right now.
The eBay?
As you're looking, let's talk about Marvel. Marvel broke the system.
Uh-oh.
And they're releasing a comic book that is only variant covers.
What?
So this comic book is Star Wars, the action figure variant covers from John Tyler Christopher.
Yeah.
So it's 104 pages, and all it is just covers. 104 pages of covers.
But do you want to know the sad part about it is? I'm probably going to buy this.
You're going to buy that, are you?
I probably am, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that know about this, but some don't. When Marvel rebooted the Star Wars series, when they got the license back from Dark Horse, every single issue had a variant cover that was painted by this, what's his name, John Tyler Christopher?
That's right, John Tyler Christopher.
Oh, I do remember that. With the symbol on his forehead?
The symbol on
his head. Chris just showed me an angel Punisher, a religious Punisher. And I'm like brain things are connecting from the 90s.
But back to the Star Wars thing. Sorry. John Tyler Christopher did a action figure variant for every issue, and it looked like the like it's painted and
like
it's
the packaging.
Painted to look like the old 1977 action figures, and he put all sorts of characters in it that weren't normally in there. I have some, but I don't have them all. Like it after
I remember
a little
the
while,
first few were really hot and hard to get.
Yeah, number two is hard to get. And then there was a Boba Fett premium.
I was just going
to
say there was the Boba Fett one. I remember you bought that one, didn't you?
I have the black and white one. I have the color one, and I have a spare color one if anybody's interested. And I do have a Han Solo number two. But I don't know. I think I stopped around issue 30-ish of collecting these. Mm-hmm. So to get every single one, just so I could sit there and look at it in a volume that I don't really care if it's like, I'm going to buy one just for a reader.
Yeah.
You know, just so I can read and peruse it. Cause the art is beautiful and man, does that hit the old nostalgia bones.
Now that you mention it, I think that I might have one of those like tucked away in a long box somewhere that I may have picked up for like possible speculation. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know which cover or to be honest, where it is. So
dang speculators.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that the Boba Fett still go for some money. I'm not sure about the Han Solos anymore, if they do or if that kind of died out. But, you know, again, once they stop doing this, which I think they have announced that they've stopped doing this, the demand drops, right?
Yeah.
Like the second the Walking Dead TV show goes off the air, the issue number one is going to. Gonna tank, if you ask me. Tank is a strong word, but
after
it's not gonna
the
be,
Rick Grimes movie is done, come on.
It's not. Yeah. It's not gonna be a $2,000 book. Like, has it even dropped below the $2,000 now?
That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't follow it because one, I just can't afford to pay $2,000 for a comic. So, and two, I just never was really interested in buying it.
And here's the thing, like, you know, at one point, I was thinking about like. Trading my first appearance of Ghost Rider for something like Walking Dead number one.
Yeah.
However, I think the first appearance of Ghost Rider is something that would keep its value or rise in value.
Like here's
and it has recently.
Here's a CGC 9.6 for sale for $1,500 Canadian, and it has two bids, so it's going to close at that price. If nobody else bid. So it might go a little bit higher, it might not. So it's still, you know,
and that's a 9.6, which is a pretty decent grade.
Yeah. Here's a 9.8 for $4,000, buy it now, but there's no bid, so gosh only knows if you'll sell it for that. I passed up the opportunity to buy two of these for $20 each. I went with Fables instead.
Fables?
Did I ever tell you that story?
Yes.
Dan has heard it a million times. Yeah. You must have heard it at least.
Yeah, if you've listened to the show, you've heard this story.
He's heard it a million times. You must have heard it at least 106,000 times.
Everybody has one of those kind of I wish I'd have done it stories.
Not as good as your I did it story with your Hulk 181.
Yes.
I'm going to say nothing, but I'm going to sit in the corner looking smug.
An Amazing Spider-Man 129. I got them both at the same time.
There you go.
For $45 and $15 respectively.
Yeah. I let my Amazing Spider-Man 129 go last year and a half ago and never got it back, but I did get my Flash 123 back. Thank you very much, Tony. You are a saint. But I don't know. It is what it is. As far as comic books, did anybody read anything this week? I read two.
I read something, but like I figured it's already so close to the end of the show, I'd just save it for next week, but...
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I bet I read the latest issue of Batman and Superman, and these are the sophomore issues after the big deal, right? The big deal in 86 for Batman was, Tom King's no longer the writer. He's a new writer and stuff. And it's just continuing that story, and it's good. It's okay. It didn't jump out at me and scream yay, but it also didn't jump out at me and say cancel. So it's pretty good. But the Superman issue is the next issue after he told the world that he is Clark Kent. So he's in the Daily Planet, and the lawyers are there, and they're like, you know, gee, it was kind of morally reprehensible that Clark Kent, air quotes, was reporting on Superman, air quotes, giving each other's quotes and stuff, and you know, exclusives, and it's like, okay, yeah, you kind of pulled a a fast one on the entire thing. So Perry White fires him, but in the next breath, he hires him back as Superman. And it's like, oh, just...
How about they some real consequences?
They did that with Spider-Man, right?
Like just...
And then they had to make everybody forget.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, it seems... I wanted to give Bendis the benefit of the doubt, and I'm glad Chris Gilpin's not here because we only have 9 minutes left. But, like, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, and the first few issues was okay, and it was an interesting storyline, and there was a new character, and it seemed, you know, oh, it's fresh. You know, it was everything that you expected, and then all of a sudden it's like, now it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show. Now it's like a drama. It's Superman, go beat shit up. You know, go pick up green cards and throw them. Don't sit there. You know, I don't want 7 pages of a 20-page comic book in the bullpen.
But isn't that all Bendis is good at is talking heads?
Yeah, that's exactly what this issue was. Now that you mentioned that particular turn of phrase, that is exactly what this issue was. He Bendis'd this thing to death, and it was just like, ugh.
That tends to suck a lot of the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole point is to watch Superman smash stuff.
Maybe Bendis should just write novels and stick with that, because the pictures are important and having action in comic books is important.
Yeah.
I don't know. This Archangel 8 looks like it's going to be full of action.
I'm looking forward to
it. Guns! Bazookas!
Resistance looks pretty good, too.
Yeah, I pre-ordered... What were the first four that they have?
All of the above. The Archangel 8, Resistance.
Red Border and Hotel. Yeah. That hotel was hard to find because the logo, it says the Perot Hotel with some of the neon lights are gone. Mm-hmm. So it's just the H, the E, the L is highlighted, and then somebody spray painted an L. So we thought the title of the book was Hell.
Yeah.
So we looked on Diamond Hell. No, it didn't come up. Then we looked up Hotel. That didn't come up. It's Hotel with the extra L. If you're looking for...
And just in case you're curious what we're even talking about, Marty's going through the AWA solicitations again.
Yes.
Because just went straight into that with no preamble.
But everybody wants fight girls.
I don't.
I don't.
What are you talking about? I want fight girls.
I'm not jumping up and down for that one. Yeah. The
Grendel, Kentucky?
Archangel 8 looks great.
How about Bad Mother? I've met this girl on Tinder. There's no way. I swear this is a dating app profile picture. Anyways.
What will be interesting is to see if any of these AWA comics make it through a full series or a full story arc. Because this is throwing spaghetti at the wall as well.
I think so.
It is up to a point because it's the exact same model as Image. Like, this is the Resistance is written by J. Michael Straczynski.
Yes.
You know, like, is he going to stay as an AWA employee and write books for him? No, this is a freelance work for hire. He's got an idea for a particular short series. Is it going to be anything past this? Like, or is this just like a done in one series and that's it, move on? Or is it going to be something bigger? Like, Saga is something bigger, but 30 Days of Night was just one miniseries and then a second miniseries. If not, I don't think there was a third. So
they had a whole bunch of like weird ones. They weren't called 30 Days a Night. There was like Dark Times or something.
But I get the impression that they were all done by. It's like Mike Mignola when he does his Hellboy stuff. Mm-hmm. I got a Hellboy idea and it's 6 issues. You guys want to print it?
Yes.
Okay. 3 years later, I got this idea for this 4-issue Hellboy book. You guys gonna print it?
Yes.
You know,
instead of having like a regular monthly ongoing.
Instead of a regular monthly. So I know. Should be good. Should be good. I'm actually... No, never mind. We won't talk about that. Hey, this is episode 150.
Yeah, episode 150 with no fanfare.
We forgot to mention that. That's how tired everybody is.
I'm not tired. You guys just were ignoring it, so I thought I'd ignore it too.
Well, yeah, just jump in there.
Just like always, check us out on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. And we'll be back next week for I need to learn how to speak. We'll be back next week for episode 151.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.hkids.com. heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics radio show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?